Hey, you're listening to Sonic Podcast Adventure, the world's most way past cool Sonic podcast. My name is Sean Aitchin, and I'm joined as always by...
I am Chris Dobbins, and today we are joined by...
Me, Jen Hernandez.
It's okay. I think we always forget to prompt people that they're going to say their own name.
Yeah. I was about to say something, but...
I edit out the silence anytime, so don't worry about it.
Okay.
I guess just real quick, tell us, we always ask our guests, like, tell us, you know, a little bit about who you are, what you do, and then your history with Sonic, and specifically, like, Sonic OCs as a topic.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, my name is Jen Hernandez. I started, I guess, on DeviantArt, drawing fan art and fan characters, and then I moved on to working on the Archie comics. That was back in like 2013, and then I hopped on IDW, and I've been doing that ever since, like here and there.
Hell yeah. you said you started like on DeviantArt, because like I have DeviantArt written down as like one of the like cornerstones of Sonic OC as like a topic. So I guess what were some like your earliest creations? Or fan art?
I did a lot of ship art, of course. And I mostly stuck to drawing my OCs, but I mostly like the chaotic, so I draw them a lot too.
There needs to be more chaotic in the world, so.
Yeah, really, honestly.
I always forget to introduce the topic. I said it, but didn't properly introduce. We're talking about Sonic OCs. So it's a big topic, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
But a very interesting one, and very one worth like covering, because we like this podcast is always going to be like, we're going to cover like literally any and every corner of the fandom, including like at one point we want to do an episode about fake Sonic like parodies in other cartoons and media and stuff like that. There's actually quite a bit.
Yeah.
Where should we start with this? I feel like it's a very complex topic to really start with.
Mm-hmm.
I would say maybe, where do you think, like, for both of you, where would you think the idea of like when you're, especially when you're young and like you just really want to make your own specifically Sonic character? Because like I never see OCs of like Mario or Zelda. It's always Sonic. So where do you think that comes from?
Simplicity and ease of access, kind of like Sonic. I wrote this down as like one of my big things, like in the notes, is like it's such a blank canvas of a character, and not in any sort of like knock on the Sonic art style, but you really can just take away the spikes and the shoes and the gloves and then make it anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very easy to understand art style and easy to grasp art style. And the fact that like Sonic characters within the Sonic universe already look like they're just modified versions of the first character of it is, I think, why people are like, oh, it's that easy. Like you can just, you know, turn his spikes up, make him black, add red stripes, give him fancy shoes, and you have Shadow.
That makes sense.
Yeah. What about you,
Jen? A similar thing happened in like the My Little Pony fandom. It's like you kind of have this base to work from, and you can just put whatever you want on that. And like a lot of people draw maybe themselves as like a Sonic character to put themselves in that universe and like be best friends with Sonic and stuff like that.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
because a lot of younger kids do it.
Yeah, it's a very easy one to put yourself in, because I think, again, two very big things of like early creative and imaginative like kids and tweens and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like early creative moves and habits are to copy the things you love a lot. So and also to put yourself in it and then maybe lie that you put yourself in it. I feel like I always did that. I'm like, yeah, no, he kind of looks like me, but it's not me. It's fine. And I think, too, just like it, the real like it's such a funny sentence to say out loud. The heyday of Sonic OCs. was, you know, I think when Sonic Adventure 2 Battle had saw a more widespread release Sonic Adventure 2 saw a more widespread audience with the battle release on GameCube. Sonic X was coming out, and then, like, now, again, like, we have, following that, there's, like, the console, the modern console wars of Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony, and all of the games are available on all of them, starting with Sonic Heroes.
Right. I think Sonic X 2 was, like, a big part of that, because I remember on DeviantArt a lot of kids would take screenshots from Sonic X and, like, edit them and edit their characters onto that. That was, like, big thing for a while.
I was going to say, that's, like, it's that, and then there's also, like, more official art kind of floating around because of Sonic X. Like, you know, Sonic X probably had a website via 4Kids or whatever that you could just, like, screen cap and edit and stuff like that. I think a lot of it just comes from, like, this perfect storm of kids already love, like, making their own thing out of something they love, and then people who are creative exploring their creativity by, like, copying and pasting and just kind of modifying it first, like... You know, it's similar to how, like, you get so many, like, AUs of Undertale and stuff, because it's like, oh, I'm exploring how I want to tell stories, but I don't really know how to make characters, so I'm just going to put this character into this story and call it an AU. You know, like, it's happened over a couple different generations of the internet at this point. And Sonic, I think, is probably one of the earliest, most prevalent ones. I can't think of anything before that would be as, like, known. It's probably the first, like, online kids generation of it.
I think I see what you're saying.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Like you said, though, the whole, like, making yourself into Sonic character is super easy. In fact, for the occasion, I found that the Internet Archive has a saved version of the DeviantArt. Was it the male and female furry doll makers? I found it. Like, the Internet Archive lets you make it, and I just, like, made one real quick. It's especially when you look at the actual, like, blank canvas of this. I'll bring up a photo in a second here. The blank canvas of it, like, really shows, like, oh, it is so easy to just make this and make it your own.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. Like, it's
that makes sense.
Yeah. And, you know, even if you add more stuff that's from Sonic, you know, like the gloves and the shoes and the Cyclops eye, it's still all very, like, easy to make it your own, because Sonic himself is already a blank canvas. He is the most, like, and that's how it is usually with these kinds of, like, long going franchises. The original character is the most blank of them, you know, in terms of, like, you know, even Mario, like, it, who's the Galaxy Princess again? I always forget her name.
Mario, Rosalina?
Yeah, Rosalina is a much more complex character design compared to Mario, I think. I think it really just comes down to simplicity and that accessibility and the timing of. Sonic is pretty big in both video games and cartoons via Sonic X, and kids are online at this time, and they're making, they're using it as a way to explore the creativity is really the central way of putting it. What about you, Kristen? Did you have any thoughts on it?
Not really. I was curious to, like, pick both of your brains about that kind of stuff, because I've told this before. Even though I grew up drawing constantly, I didn't really make OCs, like, of my own. So I was very curious, like, where that mindset came from.
It was definitely, like, my creative outlet as a kid, for sure. I think I had multiple, but, like, it was one of the early ones where I'm like, oh, you can make anything. Like, that galaxy brain moment that every child creative has. Our creative child has, where it's just like, oh, okay, so I can just, like, do this. I remember it's a good time to, like transition into, like, the stories of, like, our old OCs and stuff like that. One of the, like, biggest sources of it for me was when I was a kid, when we were, my friends and I weren't really, like, we didn't really grab the basketball or the handball or, like, you know, or anything like that, or the tetherball on the court. We would go down to the grass and play Sonic characters. And I couldn't, you know, because I was a little ADHD child. I still am. I couldn't stop making characters. I made like two, and then like, okay, I'm making a dozen of these. The only two I can remember are one called Spike, who was a white hedgehog with like blue trim on his spikes, kind of like the tip of them were kind of like, you know, some dogs have that like paintbrush tail thing. It looked like that, where it was like dipped blue at the end, and then a blue vest, and then one of his spikes was made of metal. And do you know that like that animation of that one grass Pokemon, I think it's Chikorita or Bayleaf or something like that, where it tilts, like it tilts its head and then Razor Leaf comes out of it. I imagined him doing that with that spike and shooting it out like a boomerang, because I didn't know how it really worked, how the spikes and spines worked, but I always thought that was cool, of like having like a fake spiky shot off like a boomerang. And then the only other one I can remember was a cyborg named Spark, who was like a hedgehog who got like turned into like a robot, but not like roboticization. Like he was just like kind of saved by technology. And he basically looked like Mega Man slash Sonic, which there's been about five iterations of that. Like kind of looked like, what's the one in the Archie comics who, it was like a Metal Sonic, model that gained sentience, Shard. Yeah. Almost similar names too. Mm-hmm. Let me see. It basically looked like Shard, but blue. now I'm going to start my own lawsuit against Archie and but yeah, it looked like that. And then like I remember Spark stood for something, like but like I can't for the life remember what it actually stood for. And then most of the other ones were just like other characters I already had made up for different things turned into hedgehogs. Always hedgehogs. I even when I had a character who had lizard powers, I was like, no, he's a hedgehog.
It's always a weird thing to me when I hear people who like don't really know Sonic. Like I've heard this multiple times where they look at the other characters and they're like, I always thought all the other characters were hedgehogs. I'm like, really?
You know, the one who has a bee stinger and wings, you thought that was a hedgehog? Yeah, you got your bee hedgehog, you got your alligator hedgehog.
Alligator hedgehog.
what about you, Jen? What were like some of like your earliest like fan noses, or any ones that like you still stuck around perhaps? Because I know quite a few people who have still draw their old ones.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I started, I think I started like you. When I started making OCs, it was like after the first game came out on Genesis, because that's when I was like a kid and I was 8 years old. And I don't know, playing the game made me think, what is Sonic's family like? So I just made him a bunch of cousins that were all hedgehogs, but all like,
oh, I love that.
Tropey, stereotypical, like one was a nerd and one was like a jock and one was like a little kid with a beanie cap, like all that kind of stuff.
I think I did the same thing. Oh my God. I just like unlocked a memory.
A lot of people started. So it was like, that was the first time. And then the next game came out and they introduced Tails and I was like, oh, other animals. That's a good idea. I just scrapped all of his whole family. Sorry. And then I just started making other animals. Like I had a cat at the time, so I made a cat. And then it just spiraled from there. Like after every new game came out and there were new characters, I would just think, oh, okay, I'm going to do another animal. I want to do another thing. But then I kept making girls because there weren't any girl characters. Not that I was aware of, because this was also like before the internet and I didn't really know about Amy Rose until like later on. So as the games came out, they kept introducing like male characters. I just kept making girls. So I kind of made this like core group of five and I've just pretty much kept them still now to this day.
I love hearing about that. When like you, I mean, I still have some like childhood like characters, not Sonic ones, but childhood like characters that I have like tried to reconfigure into something, even if I can, I just like keep in my brain. Mm-hmm. I love hearing about that. I love that that's like a thing that is like part of the creative mind that we just kind of really stick with our ideas.
Those are our babies.
Our children. what you said was interesting. What you were kind of filling in the gaps of, like, there was not a lot of female characters, so you were like making your own. I found this article from a few years ago, I think, from US Gamer. From 2017. It's called The People Who Never Gave Up on Sonic, a deep dive into the most curious and passionate fandom on the internet, by Katie McCarthy. And there's this really good quote. There's two good quotes. There's one just that's like part of the article, where eventually these roads lead to creativity. Fans writing their own fan fiction, drawing their own fan art. Yet these are regular things for the most dedicated fan communities. However, Sonic goes deeper and more peculiar than most. Creating original characters to embed themselves into the narratives they love or want to improve, writing fan music, engaging with the games in this, on a surprisingly deeper cultural critical level. I am so bad at reading out loud. but then there's one from someone named Caleb Zane Huet. I hope I'm saying that right. Mystery and mistake really breeds fandom. Sonic is like a bunch of very strange choices, a bunch of very, very weird decisions all piled together in a world that most of the time makes absolutely no effort to explain itself. When it does make effort to explain itself, it's often does such a bad job that it's easy to disregard. So it creates this really great space for fans to put themselves on the narrative and put themselves in the world. That's where the OC culture comes from. And that's almost exactly what happened, where you're like, there's this gap. There's no female characters. I'm going to make mine. That's like, it's so crazy that like we all kind of have this unified experience of why we want to make these characters.
Yeah.
Now, Kristen, you said you made one and only ever drew them once.
Yes. When I was a kid, I drew the Sonic characters constantly. But I've never really been into like fan fiction and stuff like that. But like when I was a kid, I drew one Sonic OC. He was a green Sonic with like how Shadow has the red marks on his quills. He had yellow lightning bolts and his name was Lightning. And I drew him once and that was it. I never made a backstory. I never made like a personality. That was it. I drew it once and it was done.
That's rad. I actually really love that.
Yeah, I never really did many like OC drawings. I always just drew the characters themselves because like I don't know. I guess it's like the it sort of ties into not reading fan fiction, where as a kid I'm like, well, it's not the real thing, so why should I invest myself into it? And I'm still not really a fan fiction person, but I will absolutely make my own characters.
I totally get that. Like my brain would constantly shift between the two positions of like, well, this isn't real. Like, it's not real. It's not really giving. It's not going to actually happen in the show. And yeah, but that's the reason why I like it. It's giving you what you won't get in the show. Like, it's such a weird dichotomy. And I know most people are usually just like full head dive into like the fandom stuff, like the fan creations. But I feel like Sonic is also one of those things that like goes back and forth between like, yeah, like you can slide between them very easily and it doesn't feel like you're like, I can't think of a better word than like disrupting, I guess. It doesn't feel like it's something that breaks anything, versus I feel like a lot of other fandom creations can sometimes feel like, you know, a heavy, like a such a deep rabbit well, you know, a rabbit hole, rabbit well. I can't talk today.
Dude, we had a big day yesterday. You're fine.
Yeah. but yeah, it really is such a fascinating topic. Like, I think. Actually, I want to ask you, too. Do you want to walk us through some of your fantasies?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Kind of embarrassing.
No,
it's kind of embarrassing, but I still draw them all the time, so I don't know. I don't really.
that is the dichotomy of being a Sonic fan.
Like, I have to talk about this out loud. No.
I opened up Twitter to like go to your page, see if I could find some pictures, and so I can add them in for later. I literally just found somebody making a comic of Jesse Pinkman and Mr. White, and Jesse has shown Mr. White that he's drawn them as Sonic OCs. It came up on my timeline completely like coincidental.
That's funny.
I cannot believe that. Holy shit. I had a lot of
people making like Sonic versions of other things. That's always funny.
That is always fun too. I think that's like more or less the adult version of it. Where you maybe like lost touch with Sonic community as in between being a kid and now. Uh-huh. And now your response is like, all right, so I'm just going to draw some bullshit. Sonic is such a like turning things into a Sonic character is such a strange part of our culture. And I love it. I interrupted. Sorry, you were going to tell us about your updates.
Yeah, I mean, the group that I still draw, I always call them the Jewel Carriers. When I was a little kid and I made them, for some reason I kept this motif of like naming them after jewels, because Sonic was named Sonic because he was fast, I guess, and Knuckles was named Knuckles, you know, because he had the fists. And so I was trying to think, okay, what can I do with my characters? And I was really into like astronomy and like birthstones, so I just I named them after jewels. And so my core group is Crystal, Jade, Emerald, and Sapphire, and Ruby. And they all have like elemental powers, because again, I think that was something that a lot of people did. Like,
oh, yeah, gave
powers to their characters.
It ties back, you know, to like some of like the most popular children's media is like color coded and elemental coded. So it's like very, very, you know, I don't know if I'd call that like simple or anything like that, but like it is a concept that's easy to grasp. Like, oh, you have the guy with fire, you have the guy with water. It's you know, Sailor Moon, Power Rangers, Sonic stuff too. You know, it all really ties back to like this very easy entryway into being creative and making things your own, even if they're similar to what you have been watching or reading or taking in. It's being able to make your own out of these simple puzzle pieces that other things are presenting you with is a core part of it. But yeah, I was really excited to talk about this, because I think it's just it's something that people who are like deep Sonic fans just immediately get. even Chris, even though you said you didn't make them, you like understand like I think that is such an integral part of the Sonic fandom.
Oh, absolutely. Like I just drew my like own a couple weeks ago. Let me pop those pictures in here real quick.
Yeah, it's just about to do that. It feels like such a great, like, yeah, like, as a kid, it's a creative exercise, more or less. You are getting something out of it. It's taking a few things out of your hands, so you're not stuck thinking about things. And as an adult, it's more or less the same thing, where it's like, I am too tired to think of what world this character exists in, so I'm just going to make them, and they exist in the Sonic world. You know, it's a very fun exercise. I love these so much, Chris.
I just dropped the pictures in the podcast links and pick channel. But yeah, like I just like looked at some of my favorite animals and looked throughout like the various, especially the IDW comic, because I love a lot of the background character designs in the IDW comics, and just like looked at those and I was like, okay, a fairy penguin, a stoat, a bear, and a monkey. Those are all like some of my favorite animals. And I was like, okay, like looking at the body types and like abilities, what would they do? And I was like, okay, fairy penguin, swim, a stoat. I just drew the pose first and then came up with the idea of like, oh, they're probably like a tracer, like a parkour artist, like a hiker slash like camping counselor bear, and then like a novelist monkey. But I just like looked through and was like, hey, like there are characters in Sonic who are like heroes, but there are also probably characters who just like go about their
work
day
at the 7-Eleven.
Yes, exactly.
Now I need to make a set when it works at 7-Eleven.
I mean, Tim already worked at McDonald's.
Yeah, yeah. but what was I going to say? This is such a... It, I tried to like have like a plan with how we talked about this topic, but it's just so all over the place because it's like, it's such like going back to my brain's like old ADHD, like creative, like make Sonic OCs every day, like the gremlin mind. I am devolving into that. I feel like I've been talking the whole time. Chris, do you have anything to say or Jen?
I feel like we would probably get into this like in a little bit, but I might as well bring it up now. Sonic Forces. That's like the first time.
Yeah.
Like they were like, okay, we're going to make like a real thing where you can make your own Sonic OCs.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that gives me like an idea for something to talk about because like, you know, when it comes to IDW and quite a bit of late Archie, there was a lot more documenting of like, you know, here's the creatives working on this. Here's some interviews with the people who worked on it. Right. But I feel like early Archie, where they did introduce a lot of like what more or less could be considered OCs, they were into a comic, obviously, but it was somebody creating those characters. That's a little bit less documented. So I wonder how much of that was like somebody actually wanting to like see this character in the Sonic world with the same mindset of a Sonic OC, or how much of it was just like what a lot of early Archie kind of what made it unique was like a lot of people who didn't necessarily want to write for Sonic and were fans of other comic genres bringing that into their writing. And I wonder if that's how we got those characters or if it's more just like they like really like the idea of the Sonic OC or I don't know. But because I feel like in IDW, again, that's more, there's a little bit more documentation going on, a little bit more interviews and behind the scenes. Especially like Surge, we just got like a huge thread of like the Surge design a while back. But even if it wasn't necessarily like the same mindset of OCs, it's interesting that a lot of the like fodder, I guess, for creative like ideas for OCs does come from the Archie stuff, like from even older stuff, like probably like right around when they started doing the modern Sonic like art style.
I feel like a lot of that from Archie, like I have said this before, I didn't really read Archie, but I feel like a lot of that comes from like Archie took a very small cast where you just had basically Sonic, Tails and Eggman, and they looked at basically every asset they could find from the game, like all the little animals that Sonic saves throughout the first few games, and were like, okay, build these ideas into characters. So I feel like that sort of like, especially with Archie, kids could look at that and be like, oh, they just like made these characters out of nowhere. Like they weren't in the games, yeah, but they could just like make them up. I guess I can do that too.
Yeah. Even the filling in the blank, like, you know, task that they were charged with, like here, like you said, here's Sonic, Tails and a few ideas, fill in the rest. That is the mindset of the OC, is like, even the ones you made, like what are the people who just go about their business in the Sonic world? I'm going to make those. But that also, I just reminded me of something else too. I was wanting to talk about, it's only modern Sonic. It's never been classic Sonic OCs.
I sometimes see like classic interpretations of modern characters, and the one I see most is Shadow. But
yeah.
Yeah, like I don't really see many classic Sonic OCs. That's a good point. I mean, there are obviously some, but I can't think of like specific ones that I've seen. I guess it's because classic Sonic was sort of like ignored by Sega for a long time.
Yeah, and I think again it ties back to what we talked about earlier, where Sonic Adventure 2 Battle was the like kind of GameCube era, like online generation's biggest introduction to Sonic, and Sonic X, like everything that was like really permeating during the early online age was modern Sonic, specifically the Uekawa art, because like most OCs are based on the Uekawa art.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that internet thing plays a lot into that, because then there was an outlet for people to share that stuff. Because I feel like, I mean, I was drawing OCs back in classic Sonic days, but we didn't really have the internet as much as we do back then. So there wasn't really a place to share them. And I'm sure a lot of people who were drawing Sonic characters back then, you know, never shared them, and they're probably just lost to time.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah. Oh my God. That that makes it so much. Yeah. Yeah. I totally forgot that you mentioned like you were making them from the original games, but then like when people were really starting to share them online was when there was a new art style, like permeating everything. Mm-hmm. Wow. or galaxy braining over here. Yeah, that's it's like I said, every time I fold open a new layer of this OC onion, I find something insane.
Jen, I wanted to ask, I know sometimes in like both Archie and IDW, people's OC characters are like snuck into the backgrounds in some scenes. Has that ever been done with your characters?
I did it on the third issue.
Oh.
Of IDW. And I did it a little bit in Archie, but when I got into IDW, I was like, screw it. I'm just going to put everybody in this one issue. If this is like, because I wasn't sure if I would get hired again. I was like, if this is the last official Sonic thing I ever do, I'm just going to go ham.
Yeah, make your mark. Everything in it.
I even did a character that was like based on my dog. Like I did every, I didn't care.
I've always, I have wanted to do that myself.
Oh my God. We should do that on the stream, Sean.
Yeah. that is, that kind of leads me into like how a lot of people who were like OC makers and kind of deep Sonic fandom artists became a like career Sonic artists, like either in the sense of like they work for IDW or Sega or Archie or, you know, like yourself, or they are just like so known for their Sonic style. People go to them for the Sonic commissions, you know. It's I guess like kind of, you know, maybe that's something you can kind of talk about a little bit, where like, do you feel like you wouldn't have worked for them if you weren't such like an OC like artist or a fan artist or anything like that?
The thing is, I never really like planned to work on comic books. When I went to school, I wanted to do cartoons with the goal of like working at Disney and making Disney movies. But what happened? I went to Comic-Con one year and Spaz was there. And in general, he was just like a big inspiration, I'm sure, to a lot of artists in their Sonic art. So when I heard he was going, I thought, oh, maybe I should show him my artwork. Just like, you know, as a fan, like you inspired me to make this. And when I showed it to him, he was like, you should show this to the editor. Maybe you could get some work. And I was like, what? Like, are you like, I really thought he was like kidding. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. I would do that. And then I ended up doing, because my friend overheard and she was like, you should really do that. And I was like, I don't know. And but like by the end of that weekend, I ended up doing it. And then right, like one thing led to another. And I got on the Archie book. So it really wasn't like a plan, but I don't know, maybe if I wasn't drawing fan art of it still, I probably wouldn't have, because I wouldn't have the, you know, the artwork to show in the first place.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, I think it's just fascinating that like so many people who like learn to draw from Sonic because they are making OCs or just in general, like they learn to draw by drawing Sonic. I think, Chris, you said that was a big part of your art journey. That like they wouldn't be working like they wouldn't be an artist without Sonic, and now they are an artist for Sonic. I always find that kind of like fan to creator pipeline so fascinating.
It's fascinating, and it's like especially to inspiring. Me and to yes yeah to me and so many other artists, it's incredibly inspiring.
So I want to go back to the people making like themselves as OCs, like, you know, like Sean the Hedgehog.
Oh boy.
That leads me into like the memes kind of segment of our conversation, where how I wrote it down, like how I think it turned, you know, and this is a thing of the Sonic fandom in general. Early internet like culture adopter like kids, like the early internet generation, early online generation, were like, you know, as it is when you go from a kid to a teen, you start to like look back at your childhood like hobbies and interactions and stuff like that as cringe. It's just like a part of growing up. And Sonic specifically was like, for a certain generation, growing up and kind of like looking like not wanting to be perceived as childish and looking back at like things that are childish is like, oh, no, don't. No, I'm not into that. Coincided with the Sonic games getting a little bit like wonkier and wonkier, and the fandom kind of looking back a little bit more and more with like cringe and disdain and stuff like that. And like then it became, you know, the ironic into Sonic and stuff like that, which is where the like original character Do Not Steal and Your Name the Hedgehog like Google game comes from, which I think a lot of people have really grown out of that, like of like, you know, ironically loving or just like full on being like, haha, Sonic, and Sonic is, you know, like growing out of the cringe phase of it. But we still have this like massive online like library of somebody's name, the Hedgehog, which is fascinating to me. Like you can look up almost every single name, every single like common name, and you could find the Hedgehog. I'm doing mine right now. Hold on. Let's see what I find.
I can't do mine because obvious reasons. My name is Christian. Sort of a certain association with the blue boy. Sean the Hedgehog. Whoa.
Look at this guy. And I
three hair, buddy.
Yeah. it's like, you know, I don't want to be like mean when I say this, but like the fact that this art is like lower in quality, not this art, just this art, but all the other ones coming up in the Google search are like, that's so like heartwarming to me because it means like somebody learned to draw with this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love it because it's just like absolutely like just you're making stuff and you're putting it out there. Like,
yeah.
That's the best thing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It does remind me a little bit of the Turning Red scene where she's drawing on the drawing in the notebook. Yeah. Where you're just like, ah, yeah, that's the good shit. Like,
no, yeah, don't be embarrassed about stuff like this.
Yeah.
This is how exactly. You learn. This is how you grow.
What's exactly. It? Don't cringe. What's the saying where like the person standing on the rock? don't get rid of the stuff that makes you cringe. Get rid of the party that cringes or something like that.
Yeah. I do want to say I looked up because even though my name is Christian, I go by Chris spelled C-R-I-S. I found Sonic dressed as Chris from Deltarune. So you know what? That's a good one.
that's honestly the best one.
Yeah, that's by JMO Art on DeviantArt.
I wish mine had a signature so I could call out this person. let's see. There was one more thing I was going to talk about in terms of like the modern like lip. Oh, I was going to talk about the male and furry doll maker. It was by Gen 8 Hedgehog on DeviantArt. That's from 2007. The first OC maker, as far as I can tell, was on Newgrounds, which was just called Sonic sense. Character Designer. From 2004 by Kevicus.
I remember that.
Like, oh my God, there's still people commenting on it on these days.
Oh, Newgrounds is still super popular nowadays.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like, it's so, I'm opening it up right now and I'll mess around a little bit. But like, it's so crazy to like look at this kind of like flash at the time with like gradients and like one font across the whole thing, except like, yeah, and like, it's so cool because this is a person who like loved making OC so much they had to make one so everyone else can make it. Mm-hmm. And B, it's like then this was like one of the first ones you'd see people screen capping and sharing around. But I think way more the other one was the male and female furry doll makers were, I think, way more of the common ones I would see, at least on DeviantArt, because that was a DeviantArt. That was a DeviantArt creation. Let me send both of those there. Which does again lead back into DeviantArt as like I think one of the biggest hubs of Sonic OCs. I think there were like, you know, Sonic Stadium forums that had quite a bit of fan art on them, but DeviantArt was definitely the place.
Yeah.
I'm curious now. I'm probably gonna regret this, but I'm gonna look up just Sonic OC on DeviantArt and see what I get. what? And you said you had started out on DeviantArt. How early was that? Like, how long ago was that?
Oh gosh, I think was it 2002.
Wow,
I think so. 2002 or 2003, something like that.
I think by the time I had gotten to DeviantArt, it was when I was trying to be like more serious as an artist, and my brain's like, I'm not posting my old childhood OC art. And yes, it did get gross immediately in the search results.
Immediately.
Immediately. Number one is like, okay, I don't know if you call that gross, but it's weird. Number three is just immediately like, all right.
Never mind.
Never mind DeviantArt.
I don't really go on DeviantArt much anymore, so I don't know what people are posting there these days.
You don't want to know. Seeing
people saying that, like, with every social media is like, they're like, all right, we're going to make the expedition away from this one and on to the next one. And mm-hmm. when Twitter was having its big fiasco earlier, people were like, oh, I guess we're going to start posting on DeviantArt again. And I'm like, you could not pay me to go back to DeviantArt. I had it in high school and that was it.
Yeah, same. It is a no man's land at this point. What else is there to anything else to cover, you think?
Something I wanted to bring up in regards to like character design for Sonic OCs is that, like, you know, we mentioned that like the characters sort of have a base that you go to.
Mm-hmm.
I was when I was designing my characters, I am a non-binary person. So I was thinking, like, how the heck do I design a non-binary Sonic character? Because Sonic characters are so visually gendered, you know?
Yes,
and like I tried to do that with the Stoat character. Of like, I even made the clothing based on the non-binary flag, but I was like, oh, how am I supposed to like sort of make this character clearly not male or female or both?
I feel like that's changed a little bit in some of the, especially the IDW art. I think Tangle can kind of read a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Non-binary, yeah. Like, I think honestly, the key is just giving them clothes.
Yeah, that's why I ended up with that one. I was like, oh yeah,
kind of basically. Which is, I guess, kind of another interesting like thing we can get a bit of conversation out of. Where like, Sonic OCs, like I said, Sonic is the blank canvas. Sonic is the blueprint. where like Sonic has just the gloves and the shoes, and then him. OCs, Archie originals, IDW originals are all characters with like a lot of layers to really give them a distinguished look and identity. And I think definitely the OCs, like, did you give your characters like a lot of clothing or like specifically use clothing as a way to like distinguish them?
I mean, yeah, that's in general, that's just one way to differentiate your characters, like to change their silhouette and whatever to differentiate them from each other. Adding clothes is a way to do that.
You
can also change, you know, shapes of their body and their hair and whatever.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different ways to do that.
And I think, like I said, I think Tangle is probably the best example of that. Because I keep looking at pictures of her and like there's nothing like you could easily determine this as non-binary or male even. I love Tangle's design. Now I'm just scrolling through Tangle art.
Tyson designed Tangle, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I had everything I wrote down. We can start talking about I think something we need to talk about too is, I guess, like the effect it had on the games, because, you know, Sonic Forces had a character creator, which I remember when that came out, that was like a hot topic of discussion where it's like, was it Sega caving to fans or like trying to appeal to fans and like a last ditch hurrah to like get people back into the games or like save the games? Or, you know, was it just a cool thing to add? Which I think it's that. I think it's a very cool thing to add in response to like the characters.
Like, the main response I was seeing in my circle, at least, when that character creator was announced, was like sort of people joking, like, oh my God, they're really making Sonic OCs. Like, I didn't know if it was like, oh my God, this is amazing that they're acknowledging it, or oh my God, this is so stupid and silly. But like, I don't know. I was totally fine with it. I wish that you could mess a little bit more with like the body types, because every OC in that game has the same body type. It's just like the ears and stuff that changes. I want to see more characters with bodies like Big or like Vector or somebody, because it's great seeing different just different body types expressed.
Yeah, when my wife first started playing Sonic Forces, she's like, oh, I can't be a big fat bear. I think it's interesting for a couple of reasons that they added that, because one, it does kind of, you know, it can tread the line of like just doing things for the fans, which is never like, is not good, no matter how much fans think it's very good. I think it's a good like sign that they're in touch with Sonic fans to a certain extent. Like they're like understand like, oh, this is a big part of it. We can make this part of the game. I think the customizable character wasn't integrated as like best as it possibly could be, but it is still cool that they're like, oh, this is a big part of the Sonic community. Let's put this in. We're not going to give them like, we're not going to let them just replace Sonic as the character, but you know, we'll let them put their OC in there. And then also that begs the question, is Sonic OCs a only outside of Japan thing?
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think now. I think I know some, I know a few Japanese artists, but I don't know how many have their own characters.
I mean,
yeah, I don't know.
I'm seeing if Google has any answers. I don't think so. I think it's like a much more of a individuality, like internet, like thing. Not to say that Japanese culture isn't individuality, but like I think there's more. There's a little bit less of that. There's a little bit less of that on the internet, I think. But I don't want to speak more. I don't want to put my foot in my mouth more.
I will say with Forces, I do like the absolutely absurd amount of clothing they give you that you unlock. Really pinning on to like what we mentioned earlier, how using clothes on the Sonic characters helps distinguish them. But it's also great. Yeah, you can get the gamer hat and like.
Yeah.
You could have got you like when you pre-ordered the game, I think you could get Joker's outfit from Persona 5. It's like, oh, you can do some like really wild stuff.
Yeah, I think it could have gone either way. And I think it went OK, where like it could have gone really bad that they had the character be like part of the resistance that's helping Sonic. Like, oh, you're Sonic's friend in this. And there's literally like. The song Fist Bump about you being friends with Sonic. And that could have gone really badly. I don't think it went great, but I think it's cool that they're like, yeah, you get to be Sonic's friend. And they're just completely unironic about it. They're just like, yeah, be Sonic's friends. Hell yeah. Like,
exactly. Like they know what the point of making your own OC is. Like,
yeah.
It's so goofy and funny of like, yeah, like you said, Fist Bump is all about like being friends with Sonic. And then like it's your character and Sonic breaking out of null space because your friendship is so strong.
Yeah.
It's so goofy, but that's the stuff I love about Sonic is when it's really silly, but so earnest.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, going back to that quote from earlier, how it's like when Sonic is like so goofy and the fandom is so like disparate and the lore and entries in the franchise are so disparate and weird and strange. Like, then you get the most creative stuff and the coolest stuff, and people get to insert their own stuff and the stuff they don't like, you know? I think there's definitely like room for an episode for the Sonic fandom at large. But like, this episode really like brings to light how important it is for like. And again, I don't want to teeter that line of like, yeah, listen to the fans, let the fans make the games, you know, which no, we don't need that. We don't need Rise of Skywalker situation with Sonic. But like, there is a bit of a wiggle room to be like, yeah, like, it, understand how much your fans love a thing and like are like and love the weirder parts of the stuff that like didn't turn out perfect. I think OCs are like a big part of that.
Hell yeah. man, I'm trying to think. Something popped into my mind and then it just immediately disappeared.
Yeah, that's the ADHD, baby.
Oh, I guess also like what sort of encourages people to make OCs is the fact that every Sonic game you're introducing a new character to the cast.
Yeah, and again, they all fit that, like, that I think is a big part that everyone always talks about, like, you know, how it's always a place for exploring art. Like, I think that's not really new ground to cover, but I think, like, I don't think I see a lot of people talk about how it's because Sonic is already OCing itself constantly.
Yeah.
Like, again, I'm using Charmy as the example. Charmy doesn't look like Sonic, but he looks like Sonic. You know, it all fits together because the style of Uekawa's like modern redesign of everything has always been so strong. Like everyone really works in that style.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, as a result, you have this uniformity to it. That's like, okay, I can make anything with just like, you know, the body and the big hands and feet and then like the round head and then spikes are for hedgehogs. Fluff is for foxes, you know. Long dreads are for echidnas, and then I can figure out the rest.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's very cool to like go back and think about how like I'm pretty sure like my creativity definitely comes from like realizing how easy it is to like make a Sonic OC, and then I realized like, oh, it's really easy to just do this with like people too, or other worlds or other characters. And it doesn't have to be in Sonic and so on and so forth.
Yeah. And yeah. I know a lot of people who have done like the opposite, like they've taken their Sonic OCs and then just made them into their own thing in their own universe.
Yeah. Which is rad as hell. Like I love that. It's so cool to hear about that kind of stuff. Do we want to talk about original character? Do not steal. Just like the phrase, like that, like I said, that was part of like the whole like era of like DeviantArt was all, like, it's funny, DeviantArt was actually a really good source of like, because it gave you that little copyright at the bottom of your username, which mm-hmm. definitely like was a good way to like make you realize like, no, this is worth something that I made and I shouldn't let other people just take it. And that more or less led to like, this is original character, do not steal. Which was very genuine, I'm sure, from the very early iterations of it. And then it became the meme of like, do not like green Sonic, you know, with no changes besides him being green. Don't steal, you know, original character.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about that, too. Like, nobody wants to see like a character they made like used in the wrong way. Like, I know plenty of people who they designed their own D&D characters and post fan art, and then they find out other people have made their own D&D characters and just used that design. And they're like, this is like a character that means a lot to me. Please don't just like steal that and use it for yourself.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I think it's like, it's funny when it comes to Sonic, because a lot of the designs that are seen, because they're drawn by younger kids, are just Sonic with like a recolor, and then it's like, oh, this is my own character.
Yeah, which like it, I think we could talk about like both sides of it without being like too mean to the other or whatever, where it's like, yeah, it is a little funny when you see that from a kid saying like, this is my original character, do not steal. But then at the same time, it's like, I'm so happy for that kid understanding that they made something and being yeah. proud of it and not wanting mm-hmm. anybody else to use it besides them, you know.
No, I will never make fun of a child like making their own characters, because like I did it once, but I did the same mm-hmm. thing. I am 27 years old. I'm still doing the same thing. Like, I'm not going to make fun of a kid for doing that, because that is rad as hell. You're making your own thing. You're making your own stories. Keep doing that, and you're going to be making amazing things in the future.
Hell yeah.
And big agree. That they're making it, but they're like putting it out there to share in yeah. the first place.
Yeah, Which that is like, that, that is much harder than anything.
Oh my God, I still struggle with that today. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
like being a kid and just like not having any of the anxiety of like putting something online and like being afraid that like you're going to be mocked for it. Having a kid, being a kid and just being like, no, I'm going to post it online because I want to share this. I wish
this
I had
this is cool
that.
And I want everyone to see it.
Yeah. It sucks, yeah. I wish I had that confidence right now.
It sucks that we learn the shame later.
Exactly.
We learn the cringe. but yeah, it That's like a good place to, I think, to kind of like wind down the conversation, where it's like, it is so delightful that it is such a great source of creativity and like empowerment for young artists. And like, I think too, it's like, it's a good source of like if you don't feel confident drawing people, you can draw a cartoon hedgehog that technically doesn't exist in the world. So nobody's going to like call you out on bad anatomy or anything like that. You know, like, I think that's a big part of like the empowerment as well, is that like you're drawing and it's easy enough to almost match like the official style.
Yeah, I don't really know how to build on that, but
I know.
Yeah.
I got distracted making a Sonic OC again on one of these makers.
drawing OCs is a very good way to like start transitioning into like getting more on model with the style.
Yeah. Like I said, and I think that's why it's like really fascinating to hear about people who are working for IDW Archie, who started doing Sonic OCs like yourself.
I think what's cool is like kids, they'll start with this. They'll start with Sonic. They'll start with fan characters and whatever. And then they'll go, hey, I put this out there. Some people like it. Some people think it's cool. And then they'll start developing their own thing. Like, what if they, you know, what will they think of this? That's what I hope for. Doing the Sonic stuff will give them. Maybe the building of the confidence to share that Sonic stuff.
Yeah, will
help them do their own thing.
Yeah, I think also like the fact that like the Sonic fandom was like so excitable in early internet age. Like I mean, there was a ton of websites dedicated to Sonic fandom stuff. Like there was Sonic Stadium, there was Sonic News Network, there was like a dozen others. I feel like or even if there wasn't more than those two, like those two were active. They were big. So like being like, oh, everyone loves this stuff, I'll make my own and people will love it. You know, like that little bit of confidence just to post it. And then you have all of a sudden you have this confidence to now post a million other things because Sonic encouraged you.
Right.
Sonic is inspiring us to us all.
Yeah, absolutely. I think another big part of it is like even Sega itself has been very like supportive of it, because like Sega and like IDW and Archie, because both IDW and Archie, you'll see people's fan art in the back of the pages.
Right.
Yes, like, that's a good point.
It's that, and then it's Sega and IDW and Archie hiring a lot of fan creators to work on official stuff. So it just it encouraged me. I want to work for IDW. I've been working hard at that. Like it's I don't know. It's you don't see that from like Nintendo or Microsoft or like Square Enix or like other companies like that, where they really, really support the fan side of creators and are even like, hey, you're good enough at this stuff, why don't you help out us?
Yeah, I hadn't even like considered that, like maybe we're about to see a whole new resurgence of like a wave of Sonic OCs, because like we're pretty much in the midst of like a Sonic renaissance, we're getting a new game that people are very excited about. We just got like the 30th anniversary. The comics are doing really well. The movies are doing really well. We're getting another animated series. Like not only is stuff getting like quality improving, but like we're just having more of it on screen, all of it different from each other, which is what happened like in the Sat AM and Archie era, where like there's like 10 different Sonic things going on at once and they don't all connect. And so you have all these like creative like inspirations and stuff like that. And like, I think just, well, I think we're just going to see a huge resurgence, especially because, again, people see their fan art in the back of those comics, which is so important, I think.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Like, I think a big part of the resurgence is also going to be both the movie and Sonic Prime, because,
yes,
like, the movies have been so successful that, like, I have seen tons of... Not until the first movie came out. It's been a long time, but then after the first movie came out, I've seen so many little kids running around stores with Sonic clothes, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is so sweet. Kids think Sonic is cool again. It's been
and years. Sidebar, they get the best Sonic t-shirts. Every time I walk into like an Old Navy or Target, there's like a cool ass Sonic shirt I want, and it's for child.
Yeah, it's not fair. God, where was my thought going? Yeah, and then with Sonic Prime, they've teased that it's going to be about Sonic traveling throughout like the multiverse. So you're going to see a bunch of different interpretations of these characters we know. And I think it's only going to encourage kids more to be like, okay, there are so many different possibilities for what these characters can be. I'm going to start making my own as well.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. I didn't think about Sonic Prime being that too. Again, where it's showing you that Sonic is a canvas that can very easily be switched out. That,
yeah.
God damn. I didn't think this topic was going to get so like mind blowing.
It's all about like the creativity we all have as kids, and like just the I admire any child who makes their own art and puts it online. Like, you are incredible. Keep doing it. It's so motivating, and it's something I feel personally that I have lost for a long time, and it's just so encouraging. Yeah. I love it.
Even though I don't draw as much as I used to, I'm more a writer. Like, I still like I will post something I drew and then take it down like an hour later because it's like, because I don't have that same like childish of just like I made this like
this was
and I think Sonic was a big part of that. Yeah.
Yeah, like this was actually something I did talk about with my therapist, where like it's like I would struggle a lot with just like I want to make like cartoon pitches and stuff like that, and I have character ideas, but I have not sat down and actually tried to like formulate the story. Like, I have ideas, but I haven't sat down and done it. And I also struggle filling out sketchbooks. Like, I draw digitally a lot, but when I have a sketchbook in my hands, the blank sheets of paper are so like demoralizing to me. And my therapist was like, you just need to unlock like the childhood mindset of just, oh, I'm going to make this thing because I want to make this thing.
And that thing, Sonic OCs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. that went very cool places. I'm very happy we did this episode. Jen, is there anything else like you want to talk about it, like kind of like maybe, you know, what Sonic OCs like mean to you, like how they have helped you grow as an artist and stuff like that?
For me, the Sonic OCs, like, they've always just been something that I did as a kid that was fun. You know, you get away from all the stress and everything of everyday life. It's just the comfort of having that to come back to and do as like fun. I don't have to care about it too much. You know, it's just something that's always been there.
Hell yeah. that's something like I said, like I love hearing about like people you know, getting their art, getting started with their art via, you know, Sonic, Sonic OCs or something like that, and then coming back to them as like a comfort and easy to draw thing. Like, that's so great that they still serve the same purpose, more or less, of like, this makes me happy to make.
Exactly.
Hell yeah. I think that's a good place to end it. Do you want to stick around while we talk about some Sonic news?
Sure.
Hell yeah. Hold on, I have to know. There was too much to write down. I just have to open up Tails channel. give me a second. Start
with something real quick.
Yeah, go for it.
A couple days ago, at the time of recording this, so E3 isn't happening this year, but Jeff Keighley's Summer Games Fest is, and they released a trailer teasing that and then the Game Awards in December. And the second game they showed in that trailer was Sonic Forces, or not Forces, Frontiers, excuse me. So almost certainly we will be getting gameplay of Sonic Frontiers at the Summer Games Fest, which I believe is June 9th or the 5th. Let me double check.
I will be the first to admit we Sonic fans turn a crumb into a meal. Really? Honestly. Especially with news for an upcoming thing.
Summer Games Fest is live on June 9th. So keep an eye on that. I'm assuming that's going to be where we'll get gameplay of Frontiers, which I am very much looking forward to because Sega has still been adamant that it's coming out by the end of the year.
Let's see, June 9th. Oh, okay, I will have to ask for work off that day because I won't get anything done. we also got the Sonic Prime stuff just came up, which there's a few things I like, few things I'm not big on in terms of the art style. The new voice actor took a minute to grow on me. What's his name again?
I think Devin Mack. Let me double check.
Yeah, I think it was just because it was just such a change. Roger's been the voice for so long that like any difference, even Ben Schwartz took a minute to get used to. But I like it. It sounds like a combination of Jaleel and Roger and like Jason and Ryan.
Yeah. His name is Devin Mack. They did confirm that the voice cast for this will be Vancouver based. So there's a lot of like My Little Pony voice actors in it. They haven't said who's voicing who. All we know is that Devin Mack is voicing Sonic. Yeah, he took a little when I first listened to him, it was a surprise because like the trailer was the first thing I saw after I woke up that morning. So when I didn't hear Roger, I was like, what? But I really like how he sounds, especially after the video he posted of him talking about like what Sonic and Tails mean to him and like going into that Sonic voice a little more. I am very excited to see how he's going to play Sonic.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear more for sure. The art style rocks for his model, I think.
Yeah, it's the first time we're getting 3D modern Sonic in a cartoon.
Yeah, I like the Quill style. I think that's something we have not seen before in that like rendering.
No, yeah, it's like normally in the 3D models from the games, it's like a textured like hair texture. But in this, it feels painterly. I like it.
Yeah, it's got these like gradient kind of spikes within the fur texture, which is it's much more economic, you know, like it doesn't have to have like all these individually rendered things, but it also decides to be stylistic that way.
I like it. I'm excited to see what the other characters look like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of like how the Infinity Run looks, but also it's a little thin for some reason. Like
because Sonic's Infinity Run typically is sort of at a diagonal with his body because it's at one foot in front of the other. In this, it's straight under his body.
Yeah, that's why it looks a little funky, but you know, I'm glad we're getting like the actual like rendering of the style of that is really neat. Like the 3D kind of like paintbrush particle effect thing.
Yeah, something I'm hoping for is that I mentioned to you, Sean, that animation felt a little slow to me because like even in the Sonic Boom cartoon, they had some issues depicting Sonic's speed where like he didn't really feel or look that fast. So I'm hoping that's something that they're able to work on in this, is to like actually have Sonic feel like he's fast. But I think that also is a problem when it comes to 3D animation, because if you're having a character going fast, they cover a lot of terrain in a short time, and that's a lot of background to render.
Let's see, what other news do we have? We have Knuckles joined Sonic and Tails on the what is it? Oh, I forget it's called. It's just called Sonic Station.
Oh yeah, the Japanese Sonic streams.
They have a
Knuckles and an Amy VTuber model. So I'm assuming we're going to be seeing them in the Tails tube coming up eventually.
Yeah, this is. I think that's a really fun way to do announcements for the series.
Yeah, those are really cute.
Yeah, they're very nice. The Amy one is adorable. I'm very excited to see like more of her. And I'm curious if they're just going to keep it to this core four or if they're going to expand into like Chaotix or like Rouge or the other characters.
I want a Chaos VTuber just to see like Liquid moving around. Jen, did you happen to get yourself a pair of the Sonic shoes from Fila?
I did.
Oh, you and Christian both got them. And when they did the restock, they did every size but 10 and a half and 11, which are both the sizes I could like feasibly fit. They called it a restock. I opened up the website on second one of like the drop and there was gone. Which means they weren't even stocked. Like,
no, that's so, that's not a restock.
Yeah, that's not a restock. I'm like about to grab the microphone. Like, Fila, come to my house and fight me.
I will. Well, Sean, if they do another restock, I will advise you because I typically wear a size 9 shoe. I sort of fluctuate between 8.5 and 9, depending on the manufacturer. I bought a size 9 of the Sonic shoes. They are too big for me, so they might run a little big.
All right. Well,
so too.
Yeah.
I'll usually wear a 4, but I ended up getting a 5 because that was all that was left. But they're big.
It's okay, probably because they're slip-ons. They have to like sort of have that room. But like, I feel like I need to like double or triple sock it up if I need to wear these. But,
you know, you just got to have the big Sonic socks.
Yeah.
I want to find some socks with like those big leg warmers from like retro dance days.
Now, hold on. There was something else from. We got IDW 50 coming out soon.
Because they just released Imposter Syndrome 4. We're so close.
Yeah, I love all the covers I've been seeing from 50. Also,
my background is the one that Evan Stanley did with like every character on it. That's my background on my phone.
Uh-huh. Hell yeah. This is the one that's rad. With like Sonic like standing above real smug like.
Yeah, that's is that Adam Bryce Thomas?
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah.
That one's gorgeous. I love how Akira it feels.
Yeah.
That's what I thought when I first saw it. I was like, it's very like 80s, 90s anime.
Yeah, it's hell so yeah. Good. I love the texturing on like all the things in the background. Everything being blue and Surge being green and yellow helps her stand out against it so much. I like Sonic's really cocky pose. He almost feels like a villain there.
Yeah. Yeah. He feels like the final boss.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's so good. I love this one. And then Natalie's cover blew me away.
Yeah. I don't know which one I want. There's like so many cool ones and I'm like, which one?
Yeah, I get the comics digitally and then I buy the trade paperbacks when they come out. But like for 50, I'm like, I want to buy like every cover I can get.
And then the other thing that happened, I think, since we last had an episode, we didn't do an episode since the second movie came out. Sonic Origins trailer came out. And that shit rocks my socks. Like that is, God. It's so good. Like, I love the Mania Sonic and I love how stylized it gets, but this is such a like a crisp like art style for him while still being able to like be stylized. Like, and that the little bits of like shading and lighting and stuff and the color choices, I'm so excited to know that like there's gonna be full cutscenes between the games.
Yeah, and written by Ian Flynn too. So
yeah, like, which was wild. Like, oh, it's so good to see Flynn like fully in the games now. Like
man, it makes me so happy. Like I wish we would get a little bit more in this collection, but I know Sega did say that for the next year they're going to be working on a lot of like remakes and re-releases.
Yeah, this is another piece of news I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, fingers crossed that they eventually do like an adventure collection for the Switch or something like that. Or like,
yeah,
I would love to see if they would do anything with the advanced games. But like, man, like I'm just happy that I'm finally gonna have Sonic 3 and Knuckles on the Switch.
Yeah, I think I think, like I said, like you said, they need that adventure remaster or even just re-release. I'll take a re-release, but I would like a remaster.
I know they're not going to do it, but if they ever do a re-release or like a remastering of Adventure and Adventure 2, I want them to do the Dreamcast versions because, in my opinion, they are much better than GameCube versions.
Yeah, I think you could do it and still keep the two-player stuff from battle pretty easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I think you could, but like I've said this before, I like the character models and the colors in Dreamcast Adventure more than GameCube Adventure. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. They're like, I love how chunky those character models are and the colors are beautiful. They feel like they're pulled right from the Sonic the Screensaver images. And then I know when they were porting 2 to the GameCube, a lot of issues happened where like textures don't work properly or like the lighting is different and characters are way too dark. Like Tails is very strangely dark in that game compared to the Dreamcast. But like, I don't know. I hope they like are able to make some fixes to help like those colors work better.
Yeah.
If possible.
Yeah. What game do you want to see re-released on the Switch that we haven't gotten yet?
I mean, you guys already mentioned the advanced ones because I haven't played those in a while. Or like Sonic Rush or Sonic Rush Adventure, but that would probably be hard with the dual screen thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But the Sonic Advance is one I definitely want to get like do a replay of. I have the emulator for it on my computer, but I feel like that's one that needs to be handheld. That's one you need to hold in your hands and play during boring family gatherings.
Oh my God, yeah. I remember laying in my bed and just playing the 3 advanced games and Sonic Battle nonstop as a kid.
Yeah. One of the other news things is that the Sonic 2 was king of the box office for like 3 weeks straight. I don't have the actual numbers in front of me, but like, hell yeah.
How many times did like destroy Morbius theater?
I saw it twice.
I saw it twice. Yeah.
I saw it 3 times. I almost went for a 4th, but I was like, I'm going to hold off.
Yeah, I would go for more if I would still have my A-list, my AMC A-list activated.
It's coming out on Paramount Plus by the end of the month.
Oh, fantastic. I'm watching it another time.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't wait to see the screen grabs people grab of it, like of like all the great stuff. You're going to gift that Knuckles falling off the plane.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love the shot of when they're all on the tornado and Knuckles just like crosses his arms and falls off like a freaking sarcophagus. I love to gift that.
I think that about covers our news segment. Fortunately, Chris, I don't have any dropping rings for us today.
I was thinking, like, what would you find where you could even do that?
Yeah, I normally we do a segment called Dropping Rings where I have Chris and guess what like the prices for like very cursed Sonic products I find on eBay. And I try to tie it in with the topic, but both because I ran out of time and because you can't really like buy OC merch on eBay, maybe Etsy, I don't know. it just didn't happen.
Like, I know a few people who sell that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I usually try and find like incredibly cursed old Sonic figures, but not this time. Maybe next time you come on the show. But that about does it. Any last thoughts or anything to add about OCs or any of the news or anything?
No, thanks for having me. It was fun. I hope it did okay.
Oh, you did great. Yeah,
great. Absolutely.
It was so great to hear like that. Like, especially it's so nice to hear from somebody who worked, you know, for Sonic Comics that like the OCs were an important part of your artistic career and like still are. And yeah, it's just really cool to hear it like straight from a Sonic artist.
Yeah, I mentioned before that like I am very inspired by the people who were fan artists and then become official artists because that is a goal of mine. So I don't know. For me, and I guarantee for people who it's also their goal, it's very encouraging and motivating and inspirational to hear those stories from you and other artists.
Well, thank you. Most of the people who work on the book now were in the same position. So I'm sure just going forward, it's there's going to be more of you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sonic fans shall inherit the earth.
Exactly.
And also, I want to say, big fan of your art. I love your work.
Thank you.
Overall, and I love your work in the IDW stuff. So thank you so much for coming on.
Same.
Thanks for having me.
I have on my wall a little like index card sized like drawing of Stevani from Steven Universe that you did.
Oh, okay.
I have that hanging on my wall. It's just like a little drawing of Stevani like jumping up and like holding up a peace sign. I love it.
I remember that one. Thank you.
Hell yeah. Here, I found this image. These ones are your OCs? I want to make sure so I can post them later.
I didn't know if I could get out. Yeah, those are mine.
Okay. I will, they're really Thank cute. I love the, is it a lizard with the horns?
Yeah, she's an iguana.
Oh, that's so cool. I love the tail.
Thank you.
Yeah. This has been such a great time. Thank you for coming on. You're welcome back anytime. If there's any Sonic topic you ever want to, you can talk at length about, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, sure.
Also, I forgot you did the One Piece variant for Sonic Universe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I totally forgot about that.
Ben Lavallo's idea, and I just drew it. So.
But it's very good. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Oh man, that's great.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, thank you again for the bajillionth time. Why don't you go and let people know where they can find you and your work?
Mostly on Twitter these days at Jens_drawings.
Hell yeah. And Chris?
At C_Dobbins on Twitter, at C Dobbins Art on Instagram, and cdobbinsart.com.
You can find me at Sean8YourSon, SEAN, the number 8URSON, on Twitter. And the podcast at Sonic Pod on Twitter, where we will post all of the images and links and stuff that we talked about, and the two and the OC I made live during the episode. So thank you so much for listening. Please follow, subscribe, do all the things a podcast normally ask you to do and all that. We'll see you on the next one.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye.